نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم. Allah Ta'ala had sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bring us and teach us complete deen and to guide the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed his deen on to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, there were many different challenges and fitnas that came about and appeared in the world. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum knew and understood that the duty and responsibility of protecting and preserving deen is a collective responsibility of the ummah. In the face of these different fitnas, where there is a very great danger of people going astray, subscribing to false beliefs, having their deen completely distorted and changed, or losing their iman entirely, if the Sahaba radiallahu anhu did not combat the fitna and do something, then there was a great fear that many people could lose their iman, many people could be misguided. And if this is allowed to continue and spread, then after a few centuries there would be nothing left of Islam at all. We find the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. There was a man in Yemen by the name of Musaylimah. Musaylimah Kazzab, Musaylimah the great liar, the false prophet. He claimed that he is a Nabi of Allah. And he was not the only person who claimed the words. There was Aswad Anasi, and there were a few other people who were very, very great fitna makers of their time. What was the response of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba? They took a very large army and a very great battle took place. Many Sahaba radiallahu anhu were made shaheed and were martyred, but they eliminated this fitna, they eradicated it from the root. This man had a very large following, Musaylimah Kazzab. He was becoming very influential and popular, but he was a threat to the foundation of Islam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu immediately addressed it. Later on, we find there were certain sects and groups that appeared. They were calling themselves Muslim, but the ideas that they entertained, their theories, were completely contrary to that of Islam and the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. One such group was the group known as the Qadariyah. And the person who was in charge of this group, the founder of this group, the forerunner, was Ma'bad Juhani. This group denied the belief of taqdeer. We all know that a Muslim believes in taqdeer. The kalima we recite, Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. And in that kalima comes, wal qadri khairihi wa sharrihi. That we believe in taqdeer. These people rejected taqdeer. When this confusion came about, what was the reaction of the people? These people, claiming a Muslim, but they are promoting theories and beliefs that are against Islam. So there were two people from that area, Humayd bin Abdul Rahman, Himyari, Yahya, Ya'mur. They said, we are going for Hajj Umrah, we will meet the Sahaba, we will go and find out from our seniors that what is the correct belief, are these people on the line or are they off the course? So when they came to Makkah Mukarramah, they inquired which Sahabi has a lot of ilm, which Sahabi here is our senior, we can go and we can ask him. They were directed to Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. So they came and they told him that the place where we come from, there's a group of people there. These people recite a lot of Quran. They seem to be very, very pious people. They even speak like ulama, they have a lot of academic language that they can speak. They can quote hadith and everything. But these people have a new belief, and we haven't heard this belief before. They're saying, La Qadr, there's no such thing like hadith. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu understood the urgency of the matter. That the ummah has to be guided onto the straight path. They have to be told what is right and what is wrong. This fitna has to be nipped in the bud. He immediately said that Muslims have nothing to do with these people and these people have nothing to do with Muslims. These people are out of the fold of Islam. Then he said, if these people, even if they have to spend so much of gold equivalent to the mountain of Uhud in Sadaqah, Allah will not accept it because they don't have Iman. Until they do not bring Iman in Taqdeer, because Taqdeer is a fundamental belief of Islam. And we find in this way the ulama, the rightly guided ulama of every century of Islam, from the time of Sahaba until the time of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala will always have that group of ulama who will guide the ummah, who will show them the right from the wrong, and who will be there to combat and oppose whatever fitna surfaces and appears in that time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about this in the hadith when he said, يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُدُولُ يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ تَحْرِيفَ الْغَالِينَ وَانْتِحَالَ الْمُبْدِنِينَ وَتَأْوِيلَ الْجَاهِلِينَ هو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. And the crux of this hadith is that in every era, in every century, in every generation, Allah Ta'ala will have the rightly guided ulama. Allah Ta'ala will handpick them. And these people will purify the wrong beliefs that people have. They will eradicate the distortions that people will try to bring into deen, and they will keep the ummah on the sirat al-mustaqim. We find that today there's a lot of confusion among people. Speak to so many people and they say, we are very, very confused. We don't know who to follow anymore. We don't know who to listen to. We don't know who to follow. We hear so many conflicting views, so many conflicting opinions. If so-and-so is saying this, somebody is saying something different. So who do we follow? In the Quran Majeed, Allah Ta'ala mentions one principle as to who we should follow. Allah Ta'ala says, اِتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. This comes in Surah Yasin, the very, very last verse of this 22nd juz of the Quran Majeed. Allah Ta'ala says, follow that person who does not ask you for any remuneration, and these people are rightly guided. What does this mean? It means these people are not financially motivated. They are not people who are there to make money. They are not people who are motivated by material. If a person is motivated by material, motivated by money, then his qibla will not be deen. His qibla will be how I can make more money, how I can make this person happy so I can line my pockets, I can cushion my bank account, I can make my wallet more full. We look at the Anbiya alayhi salam. In the Quran Majeed, Allah Ta'ala mentions the same point about the Anbiya. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, in the 12th juz of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, what does he tell his people? La as'alukum alayhi mala. Oh my people, I don't want your money. In ajriya illa ala Allah. Allah is going to reward you. Allah Ta'ala speaks about another Nabi. La as'alukum alayhi ajra. I don't want money from your people. I don't want any payment from your people. So a person should not be selling out his deen in order to get money. Once a person goes down this line where he is taking a lot of money, especially from the kuffar, from people who are going to now make him change deen, then this person is going to lose the plot. I know of one alim. He started an orphanage. He saw a need that a lot of Muslim children coming from broken marriages, the mother passes away, the father abandoned the mother, whatever it is, they had no Muslim home to grow up in, the children are losing iman, so he started an orphanage. Doing a fantastic job. After some time, the government came to him. And this is in this country. He told him, you're doing such a good job in orphanage. We want to commend you, we want to congratulate you. And you know what, we will even support you. I'm talking about maybe 15, 20 years ago. They offered him a big amount of money in the millions. He said, take this money and carry on doing more good work. You can expand your orphanage, you can employ more people, you can put up another building. But this person didn't just take the money. The money looked very, very attractive. But he didn't take the money. He said, let me go and speak to my seniors, the rightly guided ulama, ask them, what must I do? When he went to his senior told him, whatever you do, do not take that money. The Kafir government wants to give you this money, do not take this money. You carry on your operation in your small way, whoever is supporting you, the Muslim people, alhamdulillah, you make dua, Allah must accept whatever you do, but don't take the money. So he listened. A few years later, the government came back, and now they are trying to impose on him how he must run his orphanage. He said, why you got separate girls and separate boys? It's be co-ed, you must put the girls and boys together. And you don't have TVs for them, you must put TV for them. And you must put internet for all of them, you must give them a computer and internet and cell phone. Why are you not doing that? So he said, we are an Islamic orphanage, we do things according to the way of Islam. Now if he took the money from them, he'll have to listen to everything they're telling him, he'll have to change the whole of being, sacrifice all his Islamic values to listen to them. Why? Because now they gave him the money, they became the boss. But his seniors told him, this is a Kafir government, you take money from them, they're going to make you change being. You do things on your own way, let the Muslim people support you, do not get involved taking money from the Kafir government. So he listened. And the barakah of listening was, alhamdulillah, he's doing a lot of good work. Allah Ta'ala must continue taking the good work from him. But this is a common thing where people lose the focus and become money. We find in the history of Islam, there was a very great Qadi. Qadi Bakkar bin Qutaybah rahmatullah alayhi. A very great muhaddis. At the time when he became appointed the Qadi, the ruler tried to become very close to him. The ruler was called Ahmad Qulun. The ruler sent him a bag with 1,000 gold coins as a hadiah, as a present. Qazi Bakkar bin Qutaybah took the bag. The next year another bag came, the next year another bag came. 1,000 gold coins every year coming. Gold, pure gold. After 18 years, a case came before the Qazi in the court where the Qazi has to pass judgment against the ruler. And Qazi Bakkar bin Qutaybah passes the judgment against the ruler. Now the ruler is so angry. He's supposed to be my man. Every year I'm looking after him and giving him so much of money. How he can do this? So he told the police, go to Bakkar bin Qutaybah's house and tell him that he must give me back all the money I gave him last 18 years. When they came to the home of Qazi Bakkar bin Qutaybah, they said, today you pass ruling against the ruler, you pass judgment against the ruler, this is what the ruler said. If this is how you're going to return his kindness, he's so kind to you, now you're doing like this to him. Give him back all the money. Qazi Bakkar bin Qutaybah brought all the bags, he gave it to them, the money was inside, he didn't touch 1 cent, the bags were still sealed. He said, I knew this day will come. When he sent it to me, I couldn't refuse it because then he'll become angry. But I didn't lose the money. I knew one day he'll try and use that money to make me change my view. I did not take it and give it back to him. I didn't touch this man's money because when people want to give this money, they want to use it to buy me out, to make me change my view. So in the Quran Majid, when Allah is telling us who we should follow people who are not after people's money. Yes, people will take a salary, they have to live. But if people are taking large amounts of money and now they're changing deen, cannot follow these types of people. So Malla yas'alukum ajra wa hum muhtadun. And Allah Ta'ala says the people you must follow must be people who are rightly guided. How do you know who is rightly guided? You have to see who is following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. The same values that were in the life of Rasulullah sallam and the Sahaba, the people we are following must have the same values. They must be following not in the footsteps of Shaitan, not in the footsteps of the Kufar. They must follow in the footsteps of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. What are these qualities of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is going for a walima. And as he's coming close, understand the walima is a big gathering. And to accept a walima da'wat in Islam is a great sunnah. But if a person has a valid excuse to say, I'm not coming because deen is not being upheld, the laws of deen are broken, then a person should not go. As he comes close to the walima venue, he can hear that his music is played in the walima. So he does not go any closer, he turns around and he goes back home. So later on people come to ask him that, why were you not there for the walima? He said, that was a gathering where Allah's laws were being broken. I cannot come close and be part of that gathering. If Allah's laws have been broken in any gathering, I cannot be part of that gathering. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, Man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. If you add to the numbers of a people who are involved in sin, then you are also guilty like them. Maybe they're doing it, you're not doing it, but you're there and you're not leaving. You have the ability to leave, you're not leaving. You're not stopping them and you're not leaving. You're sitting very comfortably. You will be counted guilty among them in the sight of Allah. So any place where there's a gathering, where the laws of Allah are not being upheld in that gathering, people must not be there. Sometimes you find it's men and women together. Men and women together having interviews, or they're speaking. Sometimes you're finding it's music. Sometimes you're finding there's kufar there, and they're doing prayers, and Muslims are there also. A Muslim should not be part of any of these things. Their sin is taking place. If any person is doing this, he's going against the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And then we find when it comes to photography, making videos, making photos, making clips, this is completely haram in Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once comes home from a journey, and as he enters the home of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she makes salam, he does not give response to the salam, hadith of Muslim Sharif. Because she had hung up a curtain with murat, with tasweer, with pictures of living things on it. She did not know the masla, otherwise she would not have done this. But Aisha radiallahu anha, she did not know the masla at this time. Rasulullah immediately goes and tears it. And she can see he's upset, he's angry. She says, Atubu ila Allahi wa ila Rasulih, maza adhnaqtu ya Rasulullah. He says, I make tawbah to Allah. I ask Allah's Rasul also to forgive me, make dua for my forgiveness. I say, oh, Nabi Allah, tell me my mistake. I won't do it again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells her, the people who are involved in picture making, these people will have the worst, most severe, most painful punishment in the day of Qiyamah. So these are the basic values of Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Islam. Not to be involved in intermingling with women, not to be involved with the picture making, not to be changing, dealing exchange of money. Sometimes we are beguiled, we are misled, we are confused because we see somebody is very, very popular, got a large following. But a person having a large following, being popular, does not necessarily mean that the person is on the Sirat-e Mustaqim. This person can be followed. If you look at Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, was he rightly guided? Definitely, the Nabi of Allah, he was rightly guided. Did he have a large following? He gave da'wat for 950 years. Allah Ta'ala says in the Qur'an Majeed, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. But very few people believed in him. 80 people to 100 people. So one person got a following of 1 million people, another person got a following of 100 people. That does not mean that because his following is large, he is rightly guided. We have to see who is following the Shariat, who is following the Sunnah. That will determine who is rightly guided. In the beginning of Islam, definitely Rasulullah was rightly guided. But how many people had iman? The first 6 years of Nubuwwat, only 40 people, so few people. But Umar radiallahu anhu embraces Islam, he's number 40. But Rasulullah was rightly guided. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the day of Qiyamah, a Nabi will be resurrected. He will have no followers at all. He came, he did Allah's work, he gave da'wat, but nobody accepted. But that Nabi was rightly guided, he was successful. Because he did Allah's work. Whether people followed or didn't follow, he did Allah's work, he was rightly guided, he was successful. Sometimes it is a person's way of speaking. A person's very eloquent. He can stir up emotions. He can present things in such a way that a person's whole mind can spin. Rasulullah warned that before Qiyamah, such people will come who will lead people astray because they can speak well. أخوف ما أخاف على أمتي كل منافق وكل منافق عليم لسان. Rasulullah warned about this. But let us conclude on one thing. Whenever a person is confused, because some people are saying this and some people are saying that, he doesn't know which way to turn, there's so much of conflict of opinion. We should always be cautious. We should adopt the path of caution. This is from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi said that the entire foundation of deen comes down to four hadiths. There are four ahadith that can, so as to say, embody the whole of deen. And the hadith I'm going to quote to you now is one hadith from these four. You can say like this is 25% of your deen. What is that hadith? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-halalu bayyin wal-haramu bayyin wa bayna huma mushtabihat. Halal is clear, haram is clear, but between they are very confusing and gray areas. لا يعلمها كثير من الناس. Most people do not know how to deal with these gray areas. Whether it's halal, whether it's haram, what must do? So some people will tell you, no, it's fine. Some people will say it's haram. What must you do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice to us, when you have this conflict, is do what? من اتقى الشبهات استبرأ لدينه ولإرضه. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's a doubt, you will do without. If there's a doubt, stay away, adopt the path of caution. Some people are saying halal, some people are saying haram. If you say haram, you safeguard your deen. If you say halal and you're wrong, what will happen? A person can end up in jahannam, can end up in azab. But if a person takes the path of caution and he says, I'm going to stay away because there's a difference of opinion. The teaching of the hadith is, there's a difference of opinion, stay away. Today people have taken the opposite. There's a difference of opinion means we can do it. That is the exact opposite of what Rasulullah has taught us. That whenever there's a difference of opinion, adopt the path of caution, you will safeguard your deen, and you will safeguard your dunya, and you will safeguard your akhirah. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to follow the sirat al-mustaqeem. May Allah Ta'ala guide us in all situations where there's confusion and conflict. Wa asfadamana, wa yukum lakum lakum.